Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 12, 2017. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. Please speak slowly if you get the answering machine to leave me your phone number to call you back. An emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find the updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio, program archives, contact information, all these things at our ministry hub, which is very simple. It's prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Most people would say, well, you got to put the www in front of it, but if you Google prophecyhour.com, you are going to get us. Anyway, remember, prayer requests can be sent by U.S. Postal Service if you miss me by phone and email with your return address and your phone number. People do it this way because we print these out and we take the request to the Wichita Mission Church and anoint it with oil, pray over them, and then send it back to you, your mailing address, at your request, with no solicitations for donations, or as my wife says, I simply lose the address after we mail it back. Anyway, we have a prayer request form also on the right-hand side of the Prophecy Hour and MessiahsBranch.com pages, so that's another way to get a hold of us. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. We're on YouTube live and also some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. Airtime isn't cheap. And we, at this program, we sell nothing on this radio program. We are a church, and so we do not sell anything. We're only on the air thanks to your kind donations. On another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Paris, France, Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Madagascar, South Korea, Toronto, Canada, Hamilton, Canada, Moscow, Russia, of course, many, many, many other cities, and of course, cities in the good old United States like St. Louis, Missouri, Sacramento, California, Colorado Springs, Washington, D.C., Portland, Oregon, Detroit, Michigan, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of our listeners to our programs, at least when they go to podcasts later on tonight. Now, a prayer, and then we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray. Father, I pray that radio goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guest's will. And Father, please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, this program is going to be one of the very most important programs I think we've ever done. Just a second here. Most important programs I think we've ever did. While we have spoken of these things before today, today we have documented facts that talk that proves a lot of the things that we've been talking about on this radio program for years. And it is, so it is very highly important to you, and I strongly suggest you share this radio program with other folks. And yes, we are going to be talking about a book today, and make sure that you probably ought to pick up a copy of this book. So anyway, Washington. Americans are shocked by the ongoing news reports chronicling growing chaos in Europe, where massive Muslim immigration, migration, is wreaking havoc on the continent, including horrendous acts of mass terrorism and an epidemic of rape and sexual assault against European women. Large jihadist-rich enclaves were even the police are hesitant to enter. Yet few realize that America is headed down the same suicidal path. Veteran investigative journalist Leo Homan documents the stealth invasion, Muslim conquest through immigration and resettlement jihad. That's the name of his book. It's an international network of mostly Muslim Brotherhood-linked activists has been building its ranks within the United States for more than three decades, aided by U.S. immigration service system, seemingly obsessed with welcoming as many unassimilable migrants with anti-Western values as possible. So today, Leo Homan joins us to talk about his new book, Stealth Invasion. Leo is a veteran journalist and news editor for the online news giant WorldNet Daily. Folks are familiar with him because we have a lot of folks that from WorldNet Daily that have published books, and like Joel Richardson, who will be on in about 2 weeks, and others. They have this one, though, has a particular focus on immigration and Islam. Prior to joining WorldNet Daily, he worked for more than two decades as a newspaper reporter and editor in suburban Atlanta and Charlotte and Raleigh, North Carolina. So let's welcome Leo. Are you there with me, Leo?
I am. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, I'm so glad you were able to fill in. We had another guest that was going to be on, but I'm really glad to have you on. I had not read the book, and it was sent to me by email, and I just started to look at it, and the numbers that I saw in here were completely staggering. So I guess we should open this up by saying, what's going on? Stealth invasion? Is this a world war? What is this? Take us into it.
Yeah, what we have going on here, Dan, is basically a civilizational struggle, a mass struggle, massive struggle of two civilizations, one represented by Western civilization and Christianity, and the other represented by Islam. And then thrown into the mix, between those two civilizations, we have the leftists and the globalists, the secular atheist globalist type folks who have thrown their lot in with the Islamic side in this culture struggle. And it is a cultural war. We will see it break into a hot war at times with various acts of terrorism that we've seen taking place in, you know, Paris, Brussels, Berlin, throughout Europe over the last year or so. But we're seeing now stepped-up attacks that coming to America as well. You know, we've had, most people don't realize it because we don't connect the dots in our media here in this country, but we have had 18 bloody terrorist attacks on a U.S. soil in a recent 18-month period. Barack Obama likes to say we haven't had any major 9/11-style terrorist attacks, but we've had plenty of smaller terrorist attacks, mm-hmm. and I believe that they will continue to escalate and increase in number. But it's not just violence that we're worried about. We're also engaged, as I said, in a cultural war. And we could talk a little bit about that if you want as well.
Okay. Well, I made a few notes here. And, you know, you call this a stealth jihad. So I assume it's from the globalists. What, and you call it secret plans for population changes. Expound on that a little bit.
Yeah, it's basically changing America by changing its people. What we've seen is a historic migration out of the Middle East and North Africa, basically the Islamic world, into Western democracies of Europe and Canada and the United States. European continent, is a little bit further along in this process of Islamization of the West. But we are well on our way, the United States. We're following the exact same path as Europe. We're just not quite as far down that path. But this book, Stealth Invasion, is sort of the clarion call to wake up Americans who are probably not even aware, the average American is not even aware, that his country, his city, his town is in the process of being changed by bringing in people from the Middle East who have no intention whatsoever of assimilating and adopting American values of, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, all of these things that we've enjoyed for generations in America, in our great country, equal treatment of women. These things are anathema to the Islamic mindset. I'm not saying every Muslim who comes here wants to tear down these type of values, but there are a large number. And basically it's your Sharia compliant Muslims who we should be aware of, we should be screening out and not bringing into this country, but we're not doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a couple of questions, but first I want you to, these numbers is what hit me, and I got them, I think, right out of your prefix. I don't think the American people realize these numbers. I knew this was going on, but not these numbers. Give them both the legal channel numbers and what's coming over the border, if you would, please.
Yeah, just to give sort of the lay of the land, Dan, we are bringing in 1.3 million people a year on green cards. That is a historic high. That is a record high. Almost, it's been right around a million at least every year under Obama's administration. And this last year, 2016, it was up to 1.3 million. We don't know who all these people are. That is just too large of a number. We bring them in on all manner of visas, you know, work visas, student visas, entrepreneurial visas, fiancé visas. The list could just go on and on and on, the number of immigration visa programs we have going on. There's even a visa lottery program where people from countries who aren't represented by very many immigrants to the United States can apply for a lottery, and every year we bring in about 50,000 that way, just drawn at random. Then we have the refugee program, which is another 100,000 people per year, about half of whom are coming from Muslim-dominated countries that hate us. We have then the illegal immigrants who are coming in at a rate of about 500,000 or so per year across the border. Nobody knows the exact number. But add that all up, and it is just staggering. You're talking about over 1.7, 1.8 million immigrants per year. It's impossible to assimilate that many new immigrants every single year. We have now 43 million people who were living in this country who were born in another country. We're approaching a record high as far as the percentage of foreign-born Americans. And we just can't, it's not sustainable. It's too costly. And it's not sustainable, not to mention the other factors we talked about where many of these people have no intention of assimilating. And our government doesn't even use that word anymore, assimilation. They prefer the word integration, which is a big difference. When we ask an immigrant to assimilate, we put the burden on the immigrant, which is what my great-grandparents did when they came here. It was they didn't get any government welfare. The burden was on them to get a job, to learn the language, to become a part of their community and become an American. But now we say, no, we're not going to ask the immigrant to assimilate. We're going to integrate the immigrant, which flips it around, Dan, and puts the burden on the community to adapt to the ways of the foreigner rather than the foreigner adapting to the local community and the country's cultural values.
Right. So let's say this. You know, a lot of people out there would say, well, what's the reason? Why would my government do this? Why would they knowingly do this? What is behind it? What are they trying to do? I know, but for the people.
Well, as you know, Dan, there's been a movement afloat in the world for decades, some would say centuries, to move towards global governance. You know, we've seen it with the formation of the United Nations after World War II, and we have people like George Soros who are openly on the record against borders. They want a borderless world. And so how do we do that? You know, how do we create a global superstate out of all of the countries that we have today? You know, the main way to do that would be to degrade borders, degrade boundaries, degrade national cultural identities, and sort of mix people in where they weren't before from completely different cultures. Say someone, we've been bringing in 10,000 people a year from Somalia. We've been bringing in now 12,000 people a year from Syria, you know, 2,500 a year from Afghanistan, at least that many from Sudan, and about 10,000 or more per year from Iraq. These are cultures that are not easily assimilable into the culture of the United States because we have Sharia-compliant cultures in those countries that do not respect women's rights, do not respect the rights of Christians and the rights to have free speech. I mean, they have blasphemy laws in these countries.
Right.
It's illegal to say anything that offends Islam. So a person like that comes here and they see people openly criticizing Islam and, you know, they don't know what to do with it. And then we've got activist groups like the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, who is agitating. If we brought these people in, that would be bad. That would be one thing. But
right.
When we bring them in and don't expect them to assimilate, and then we kowtow to the leftist activists at the ACLU and CARE, who use lawsuits and lawfare to wage war against our culture, suing employers, suing school systems and law enforcement agencies. Whenever saying that employees have the right to come to work in a hijab or a burqa, they have the right to have their, some states they have the right to have their picture made in a veil, you know.
Right.
We're giving special rights, special privileges to these migrants. So it's not just that we're bringing too many migrants in, it's that we're not expecting enough of them in the way of assimilation once they get here.
Absolutely. And that's the way our country was built, though, was people that wanted to come to America, wanted to change, wanted to become to America, wanted to take part of our culture, embrace the freedom of it. But Muslims seem to be the perfect vehicle to put into a country to bring down the country's values and to tear things up.
Islam is sort of the battering ram of the globalist, secular globalists. If they want to destroy our system, our democracy, our culture, in order to bring in their own new vision of their utopian government, what would be the best way to do that? Like I said, it would be to bring in people from these cultures that are not easily going to adapt to our culture. They're going to require us to adapt to theirs. That's the multicultural vision. And we've seen the fruits of the multicultural vision in Europe, which is far more progressed in this area than America. They've been doing it for about 50 years now. America's been doing it for about 25, 30 years, and we're a bigger country, so it will take a little bit longer. But in this book, it gives many examples, real-life examples, of what the catastrophic ramifications of this are. And we go into places like Twin Falls, Idaho, and Lawrenceville, Georgia, and Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we show Dearborn, Michigan, and we show what's going on in these communities where Americans, Christian people, are being relegated to second-class
right.
status, and Muslims are being elevated to a sort of super status. I call them super citizens in the book because they're given
right.
special rights and privileges that aren't available to us.
Well, amen. It sounds like you brought together, you know, I've been doing radio a very long time, and we saw this coming a long time ago, but I never had somebody that like you that have put all the facts and figures together into one book. I can't wait to get to read the whole thing.
It is a lot of dots that I've tried to connect in this book, Dan, and I think it will be a good read for most people who are interested in this topic.
Well, amen. We're going to go to break in about 2 minutes, and we'll come back and talk some more. But briefly, what was the Refugee Act of 1980? And then we'll talk about it when you come back.
Okay.
Oh, well, no, I said, what was it?
What was it? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you've got about 2 minutes. I just wanted you to briefly tell us what it was, and then we'd go to break.
The Refugee Act was written by Teddy Kennedy and Joe Biden, and basically this act totally changed the way that our refugee system works, and it put most of the authority for the refugee program with the executive branch, the White House, and gave states and localities almost no input into how many refugees come to their communities and from what countries. It's a very secretive program, Dan. If I had one beef against it, it would be that.
Okay. One thing the one that I pulled out of your thing says President Carter signed into law the Refugee Act of 1980, allowing the United Nations to select the refugees for assignment to the U.S.
That is the problem. Yeah, the United Nations is now picking 95% of our refugees for us. Most people don't know that.
That's ludicrous.
Yeah, it's astounding.
It's really astounding. Okay, folks, we're going to come back and talk to him. The name of the book is Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and Resettlement Jihad. Folks, I was just sent this book today, and I just barely scanned it because I only had an hour or so before the program, and I'm just astounded at the facts and the numbers that are in it. We've been talking about this kind of thing for a long time, but everybody that I've talked to, I did not realize the numbers that are into this. And so you can find this book at worldnetdaily.com. Is a good place to go. I'm sure it's on at Amazon also, but I always refer World Net Daily. After all, they are the ones that publish the book. So worldnetdaily.com, Stealth Invasion by Leo Holman. And I hope I pronounced his name right, but we'll be back in 3 minutes. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Remember, support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We need your help for food, clothing, over-the-counter medications, Bibles. It's winter time. We need coats. In fact, we've got some that we're going to be delivered tomorrow, but we need coats. We need winter medications. We need all these things. We really get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that have supported us for now in our 17th year that makes the Wichita Mission Church work. Yes, we care for the people. We minister to the people in a part of town that most people don't even want to set foot in or drive through after dark. So why do so many people come for us to help? Love is the answer. They're treated as family. Beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. The only programs I have are radio programs. people just walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. Then if we don't have a way to fill it, we pray it in. This is why the agencies even tell all their employees about the Potter's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many. And folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as radio airtime isn't free, and donations keep us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with, we're talking about stealth invasion with Leo Holman. Are you there with me, Leo?
I am. Thanks, Sam.
Well, amen. I'm so glad to have you on. It was brought up to me. Is there really much? Everybody keeps saying, you know, well, the Muslims are good and peaceful people. You know, I don't really quite understand that from reading their Quran per se. Are they all peaceful, or is it just radical Muslims that are doing it? What's your opinion?
There are some peaceful Muslims. I do believe there's a few small sects of within Islam that do not take certain passages of the Quran literally, and there's also some that don't focus so much on the hadiths, which are the words and examples and teachings of Muhammad. They just concentrate on the Quran and then try to find, you go, you know, practice mostly the peaceful aspects of the Quranic texts. However, these are not the mainstream of Islamic teachings. These are, like I said, very small sects within Islam that are outside the mainstream. They don't, these are not the one, 80% of the mosques in America have been funded in some, at least partially, by Saudi Arabia. And we know what type of Islam the Saudis practice. It's Wahhabism, which is the most virulent, most extreme, as some people use that word. But it's really just following the Quran literally, and also focusing on the hadith, which the hadith, you know, that's where we get the blasphemy, the law of apostasy, which Muhammad killed people for leaving Islam. That is in the hadith more than once, and it is very clear that that is what Muhammad did. And then the Wahhabi Muslims from Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and these other areas, they like to follow the example of Muhammad. He is their idea of the perfect man. So are they going to be peaceful? I don't think so. So the more devout the Muslim becomes, unless he is within some of these small, sidelined, outlying sects, he is going to become more of a danger to be quote-unquote radicalized.
Right, right. And I had a Muslim fellow on here a couple of years ago that said the exact thing, and so that just reiterates it. Let me ask you this. You call it, first they get enough numbers into the country, and what is there a next phase after coming in?
Absolutely. You know, they start agitating after they get enough numbers. We're to that point now in America where they have enough in place to start agitating for their rights. And we see that, we've seen that over the last 8 or 10 years with more and more lawsuits being filed by CARE and these other, mostly CARE, but other groups as well. And then we also see them reaching out to Christian and Jewish groups in so-called interfaith, seeking interfaith dialogue. That's very dangerous, Dan.
Right.
Interfaith dialogue with,
right,
with Muslim Brotherhood-backed organizations like ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America, and ICNA, the Islamic Circle. These are hardcore Muslim Brotherhood trained organizations that are very skilled in degrading Christianity. They get the loyalty of these well-meaning Christians to sit down at the table with them, and they say, "Oh, we believe in Jesus too. We have the same God. You know, we believe in Jesus." But they don't tell you that their Jesus is not our Jesus. Their Jesus is going to return in the end times and
wipe out
Christians who won't convert to Islam. This is their idea of Jesus. They call him Isa.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he did not die on a cross. He was not the Son of God. He does not have the power to forgive sin. So who is this Isa, this Jesus that they believe in? It's not the same one we do, but yet you have these gullible, naive Christian leaders sitting down with interfaith dialogue and trying to share things in common. They say they have a common word, and they're building bridges, and they use all this flowery language, but it's really just meant to water down the Christian message.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and the facts is a fact. They deny that that Allah has a son. They say Allah has no son. And what I say to that, well, if Allah has no son, he who denies the son denies also the father, and that's the spirit of Antichrist.
But they don't believe Allah is a father, and they don't believe he had a son. You're correct.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I just came across this yesterday, and it is the actual scripture that, or not script, I repent, the actual in the, I guess it's the Quran that says it. It said it is not befitting for Allah to take a son, exalted he is, when he decrees an affair, he says only to it to be, and that is it. And then Jesus says, and indeed, Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him, that's the straight path. But it says specifically that Allah has no son. Absolutely.
Exactly.
So that
the Islamic leaders know that they cannot, their overall goal is to become the supreme religion in every country where they exist. But in order to accomplish that, they have to weaken the existing religions, which in our country, the strongest religion has historically been Christianity. And so the Muslim Brotherhood, whose stated purpose is to have Sharia law and have Islam reign supreme as the only religion, they say this in their own documents. There's no secret. It's not me saying it. Okay, so the only way that they can accomplish that in America is to weaken Christianity, which is the dominant religion, the dominant faith. And so that is the whole reason why they have these interfaith dialogues. But it's just difficult to get that message through to some of our Christian brothers.
Well, you know, that's what I haven't understood about Christianity. Now, I've tried to work with other churches sometimes down in the downtown area from where we work in Wichita with the homeless and poor, and they've got this thing, interfaith, you know, and they want to do different things and get different religions up to pray, and I just can't do it because, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son, Jesus Christ, and I don't see how I can even pray with somebody that doesn't believe in Christ. You understand what I'm saying? So to me, interfaith is poison.
I agree. And so we have that first stage, which is infiltration, and the second stage, which is the consolidation of power, with the where you start seeing the agitation with the lawfare lawsuits, the propaganda, the interfaith dialogue, all meant to weaken the existing order, to weaken Christianity especially, but also Judaism. And then the third phase is open warfare stage. And we're not there yet. We see scattered terrorist attacks, but we don't see open warfare. I think Europe is getting close and heading right into that open warfare stage.
Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you. Let me bring this a couple things up. I want to make sure I get it in while I got time. Number one, and this is a statement, I believe the Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist organization. We're seeing Islam taught in our schools. I think that's associated with Common Core. Is that true or not true?
A lot of it did come in with Common Core, but it will continue to come in even if we don't have Common Core. Common Core is just the latest label to be slapped on the what's called outcome-based education, and we've had that since the 1980s.
A lot of people don't
understand that. They think if we can just get rid of Common Core, we'll be fine. No. These same policies will be with us under a different name if we get rid of Common Core. And so I would suggest that you pull your children out of public schools because they will get nothing there except indoctrination.
Yeah, absolutely. And, folks, you do have a little bit of hope for school curriculums that are outside, you know, like, you know, I'm in Kansas, and in the inner city of Wichita, it's worse than where we're at. We're out here in a suburb 60 miles away, a country school, and they are not putting that, they're slowly trying to, but I monitored my sons. I made them give me a history book and give me their books, and I okayed everything that they taught him because I wanted him to have interaction with the kids at school. But most large schools, if you can homeschool, that's the best thing to do.
I agree.
For the record, that's what I want to say. So what about Trump? Now we're coming with a new president that seems to talk about being really strong against some of the very things that we're talking about, and that so what do you think? Do you think he can make any kind of a change? Possible or impossible?
A huge uphill battle. They're going to fight him every step of the way. I don't expect much in the way of education. There's no hope for the public school system, Dan. It is completely lost. Do not expect anything out of Trump on education. On immigration, the jury is out. We'll see. He first said that he wanted to stop all Muslim immigration until we can figure out what the heck is going on. My book explains what the heck is going on. I hope somebody will get it in his hands. But then he, you know, sort of backtracked from that and said that we're going to do extreme vetting. We'll continue to bring in Muslim migrants, but we're going to vet them more closely. That would be an improvement, but it's still not going to fix anything because if you look at these 8 terrorist attacks that we recently had over an 18-month period, you know, starting with July 2015, remember the Chattanooga shooting?
Right.
Mr. Mohammed Abdul Aziz. 5 unarmed U.S. servicemen he shot dead. We had the stabbing attack at UC Merced in California, Mr. Faisal Mohammed, he wounded 4. We had the San Bernardino attack where Mr. Farouk and his fiance Tashfeen Malik shot and killed 14 people at an office Christmas party. Then we had the big Orlando attack at the gay nightclub, 49 people dead by Mr. Omar Mateen. You know, we had some lesser-known ones like the Nazareth Mediterranean restaurant in Columbus, Ohio, where Mr. Mohammed Berry went on a stabbing spree with a machete and wounded 4 people, 1 critically. Then we had the St. Cloud Crossroads Mall attack at this mall in St. Cloud, Minnesota, September 17th, not too long ago, mm-hmm. in which Dahir Ahmed Adan, a Somali refugee, wounded 10 people. Then we had the that very same day, we had the pipe bombing in the Chelsea area of Manhattan, New York, by Mr. Ahmed Rahimi. 29 people were wounded. That fell off the radar rather quickly. Not much news about that. November 28th, we had the Ohio State University knife attack where another Somali refugee, Mr. Abdul Ali Razan Artan, drove his vehicle into a crowd of students, then got out and started stabbing them, and he wounded 11 people. Okay, so we had those 18 terrorist attacks over 18-month period. If you go back further, we have even more, of course, with the Boston Marathon bombing, and all. Of course, 9/11 was the big one. But if you just look at these eight attacks over 18 months, they all had one thing in common. Any idea what that might be?
They're all Muslim.
Not only that, you're correct.
They're all
every
visas.
One of these, every one of these attacks was carried out by a Muslim migrant or a Muslim migrant's son.
Right, so, and so they had—they were here technically, legally in the United States.
That is an astounding body of evidence right there over a very short period of time. Eight bloody terror attacks over 18 months, and every single one of them was committed by a migrant from a Muslim country or the son. In the case of, I think it was the Orlando attack and San Bernardino, and maybe one other, it was the son of a migrant. So, yeah. And several were done by Somalis, Somali refugees. So, you know, we have a problem in this country, Dan, and the problem is this. We've set up over years of a fraudulent, out-of-control immigration system. We have created a nation within a nation, a parallel society. And once that happens, it cannot sustain itself and continue on that way without one of those two opposing systems coming out ahead. They cannot coexist forever. And so you ask about Donald Trump, and I'm encouraged by some of the things he said, but I have to have a wait-and-see approach. I'm not very optimistic that it will be anything but a temporary reprieve that we end up with, and I'll tell you why. Because he already backed off of stopping Muslim immigration and changed it to extreme vetting. We've had all these terrorist attacks, and not a single one of them, Dan, that I just rattled off, not one of those attacks would have been stopped by extreme vetting. Not one of them.
It just
and I'll tell you why. Because
what he
most
actually
of them
means,
came
but
here.
I don't think there's a way to even vet these people. But let me make this one comment.
They're not just unvetted, they're unvettable. I agree.
Right.
Because, let's take, for an example, the Chattanooga shooter, Mr. Mohammed Abdulaziz. He came here at the age of 6 years old. He went to American schools, he graduated from high school as an honor student. He was a very popular member of the high school wrestling team. People loved him. He spoke perfect English. He went on to college and got a degree from University of Tennessee at Chattanooga in electrical engineering. By all outward appearances, he was a success story of a completely assimilated U.S. Muslim.
Right.
But something happened to the young man after he got out of college. He started growing out his beard. He started reading the Quran more regularly. He started going to mosque way more regularly. He became more devout. And when he became more devout, he became radical. And it didn't take long. Sometimes it only takes a period of weeks or months.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So how do you vet against that?
Well, let me just say this real quick. I say that he became not necessarily radical. To me, it looks like more of a normal Muslim, according to what they are by numbers worldwide.
You could say he became more devout, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And here I want to
let me throw this in. with every other one of these terrorist attacks that I mentioned. He's just one example. They all have a similar story. At one point, they were living the good life of the Western life, going to nightclubs, smoking marijuana. They all had a vice, whether it was women or alcohol or whatever. But at some point, they took an introspective look at themselves and said, you know what? And usually it happens around the mid-20s. you know what? My life's going down the wrong path. I need to get back to my roots. I need to explore where I went off, and then I need to go to mosque, and I need to talk to my imam. And you know what happened? You know what the imam tells a man, a young man like that?
No, what?
Oh, my gosh. Son, you have really gone down the wrong path. You have left the path of Islam. You've got to make up all those prayers that you missed, the five times a day. You've got to make up all the alms that you didn't give all those years that you were off going to nightclubs and sinning. You have got to make up this, that, and the other. And the man is overwhelmed. But then he says, how can I do this? That's a little extreme. I don't think I can do it. Well, there's one way to avoid. You're going to hell if you don't. And the Islamic faith has a very dire, dire teaching on the grave. If you ever, that's a whole other topic. But you can go on YouTube. You can go on YouTube and research it and see graphics and everything explaining what happens in the grave according to the Muslim faith. And so this is scary. Well, how do you avoid that? How can you avoid that fate of going to the grave as an apostate sinner and going to hell and having eternal torment?
Right.
You commit jihad. You commit jihad, and all your sins are forgiven. You're going to heaven.
That's a tough argument for him to get away from. Let's go with this. We're really basically come to the end of things. Do you have a website other than WorldNet Daily?
I don't.
That's fine.
Primarily for WorldNet Daily, and that's my primary avenue right now through which I'm putting out my work.
Well, I just wanted to make sure because
I am on Twitter. If people want to follow me there, Leo Homan on Twitter.
Right. Absolutely. Well, brother, I can't wait to read this book in depth and study it out, and maybe we'll do another interview after I read the book in entirety because I know I'm going to have more questions.
I would love to do it. There's so much more material we could talk about, too. Just the whole reason for the migration, we talked about it from the globalist perspective, but from the Islamic perspective, it's a very high calling for somebody to leave their country and move to an area that is not Islamic and spread the faith that way. It's called the Hijra. And that is another whole topic we could talk about.
Well, we'll do that. For sure we'll do that. I'll talk to the publicist guy or whatever, you know what I mean, that set it up today.
Sure.
But I really appreciate you being on, brother. I do really appreciate it. And thanks so much for being with me, and we'll do it again.
Thanks for having me on, Pastor Dan.
All right. Goodbye. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, that was Leo Homan. I had not read his book today. Originally, we was going to have Joseph Furr on today to talk about his book, The Restoration of All Things. And, he couldn't do it. You know, as you know, Joseph Furr is the head of WorldNet Daily, and he's a busy guy. But he was going to come on, and so we're going to reschedule that later. But we're going to reschedule one with Leo again because he has tons of information that I haven't read yet, but I scanned the book today and it's dynamite. And I know you folks out there have a lot of questions. I bet you this is one guy that can answer legitimately if you just sit back and wait. So make sure you share this radio program with others. Go over to WorldNet Daily and make some comments. And if it's any place that you can write something, tell them you heard it on the Prophecy Hour on prophecyhour.com. Make sure that you do that. Share this program with others. Folks, I do believe that we saw this two societies that we're talking about with the Trump presidency, that we saw the society of the normal working class people and those people on the Trump side, so to speak. But look at all these people that came out against him, even people on his own side, so to speak, are Republicans, and how they talk and how they're still being. Those people are globalists. The globalists have almost taken over. And so while they want to call Trump populist, I call him that American. It's like I said during the race. It's a fight between the light and the dark. which way will you choose? You must keep praying. You must pray for Trump. You must pray that his eyes aren't shut and that his ears are open and that he doesn't lose his nerve. And that nerve translates into faith. So pray that he keeps faith. And I know he's keeping people that are pastors and different people around him. So keep praying for him. Keep praying for this country, because there's a lot happening. Now, especially, we're going to be talking about some things with Israel. We're going to be talking about that in the next hour. We're going to be talking with Michael Snyder, how the nations, 70 nations, are coming against Israel on the 15th. But remember, there is only one God, and he is your father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Yeshua, the way to the Father. Remember, always being a blessing to others. Always, always, always. Pray about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church. You know, we're still in our slow month. We come out of December. We usually don't pull out until February, so we really could use a donation from you. Any size donation will help. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them and be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.